please tap on the links shared in the episode notes. What's up? You are now listening to Americanized, a storytelling podcast where you will hear from eclectic first and second generation Americans share their stories and real life experiences as children of immigrants. I had such a wonderful time connecting with Nikkei Lamoti, who you will hear from in this episode. Born in Atlanta and raised in Ohio, Nikkei is a certified wellness coach who helps other first-generation eldest daughters overcome their people-pleasing tendencies so that they can improve their relationships, work-life balance, and health without any guilt. In this episode, we talk about our upbringing and finding the pride and peace in identifying with our West African roots. It took us a while, but we are finally there. Nikkei shares the ways in which she now embraces her culture after facing challenges with identifying with her culture growing up. Thank you so much for coming on the show and connecting. I'm really excited to talk with you today.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I'm extremely honored, so thank you.
Of course. Could you share a little bit about yourself, your ethnic background, and a little bit of what you do?
Yeah. So I am Nigerian American and I'm a certified wellness coach. So I help first generation eldest daughters overcome people pleasing so that they can create just more freedom in their health, relationships, and work-life balance without guilt. And a lot of my upbringing as a Nigerian American has fed into me serving this demographic of people.
I love that. That's special work right there. That's a big task. I'm glad somebody is doing it.
Thank you. Yeah,
that's huge. With you being Nigerian, I'm aware that a lot of Nigerian names carry meaning. Is there a meaning behind your name?
Yeah. So my last name is connected to like royalty. And my first name, Ade Crown, so born to be honored or regaled, is essentially the meaning behind my name. Because both my first and last name, Ade, is the beginning of it. So they're all centered around crown, royalty, cared for, well cared for.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's powerful.
Yeah, it's interesting to add too. The fact that I can tell you that now, I would not have been able to tell you that in my 20s when I couldn't stand the fact that I was Nigerian. So I'm so proud of myself now that I know that and understand it. It's been a part of the long journey of embracing my culture. So
Well, that's really beautiful.
Thank you.
I feel like your name signifies a lot of what you do. I feel like there's a connection there. Caring. Something about care. I feel like the word came up. And then royalty.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what you're doing for yourself and for others. And it seems like it ties in really well.
Yeah, I didn't realize that, but you're right. It does. I'm a certified wellness coach, so focusing on supporting people and their well-being, that they're caring for themselves. So yeah, you're right.
So it's like full circle. That's perfect.
I know.
I love that. I did want to get into, with your Nigerian culture and you saying not being able to really embrace your name or find the meaning in it and appreciate it the way you do now. What was that like growing up being Nigerian American?
Yeah, it was really rough. And I grew up in a predominantly white area in the South in Atlanta. In the United States, the South is just where a lot of the slavery happened and stuff for any listeners who aren't American. So some of those traditional old mindsets still really are prevalent in people in the South. So being Nigerian American, I was, you know, teased for my name and teased for my skin color, teased at the time for like my physical size because I was emotionally eating because of the bullying. So I was gaining weight and then going through hormones and everything that you do in middle school. And so this was like teasing that was happening, not just from like schoolmates, but also from family on my mom's side who were African American. And so just the ignorance that comes from Americans not knowing that Africa is a continent, but there's different countries, not knowing that there's modernization in different countries in Africa. So there was a lot of bullying of, you know, your dad eats chocolate ants and runs around with no clothes and all these things. And it, as a kid, you don't understand it. Especially because my dad didn't talk about his upbringing much. He didn't, he would say like, you know, Lagos is just like New York City. We have buildings, we have all these things. It's a beautiful city, but he never went into depth about a lot of his upbringing and stuff. So as a kid, I'm like feeling very frustrated and annoyed of like, why do I have to have this Nigerian name? Why couldn't I have just been named Nicole? Even growing up, my play name as a kid in elementary school was Nicole. Like, that's what I was like, because I just hated anything related to it because I just didn't like that I was being bullied for it. And so I just battled a lot of feelings growing up of where do I belong? Because I'm being teased for being Nigerian, but I'm being teased by my African-American family members that I'm too white. And so I'm like, so I don't fit in with African-Americans. I don't fit in with the kids at school. And I just didn't understand, like, where do I belong then? Who am I? And so it made it really hard for me transitioning into high school and college to really find my identity for a really long time because I didn't know where I fit in and where I belonged. So it wasn't until my dad passed in 2018 that I really started to do the work of wanting to learn more about his Nigerian heritage. So I still have living aunts and uncles on my dad's side. And through that, and also just working through my own inner stuff, I've learned to be like, oh my gosh, I love Nigerian culture. And the fact that there's so much more for me to even learn is exciting now. Whereas before I was like, I don't care. So that's kind of been like a up and down battle of growing up Nigerian American and the impact it's just had on me from elementary on up through even post college, really.
Wow. I feel like you just preached and I feel like you spoke to a lot of people, including myself. And I do want to say sorry to hear about your dad passing.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, of course. That's a lot, and that's rough with
yeah.
your dad being the person you can connect to directly to mm-hmm. your culture, even though you do have your aunts and other family members.
Yeah.
But it's like not until his passing that you really were like, that curiosity and that embracing of your culture, it sounded like started to come to life.
It did. It really did. And I think that in that it's so sad sometimes that when bad things happen, then we have gratitude or just perspective, but it really helped me to see the lasting impact on my dad that he's had on my life. I'm 33 now, but he really like was so bent on school, making good grades and education. Like he got us workbooks to do in the summer for the next grade because he stressed education. So every summer if I was in fourth grade, I was doing fifth grade math and science workbooks. And I struggled with math a lot as a kid. And I just remember my dad trying to explain maths. That's what he called it to me. And I would be crying. He would be like, which it's not yelling because all Nigerians just speak loudly when they talk. Oh, please. But as a kid, I thought that he was yelling. So I'm like, you're yelling at me, something I can't get. So it just made me hate math. But he stressed doing well in school. He really stressed achieving, going to college and getting a job that pays you well and acting a certain way when you're in certain groups, blending in, not standing out, not being ghetto, and making sure that you, and I didn't understand all of this because again, like my mom's side was African American. So there were certain things that they did or said, and then we would come, my parents had a really nasty divorce. So we would come back to my dad's and he would be like, don't say that. Don't eat that. We don't put that in our food. We don't talk that way. Do these things. And as a kid, I'm like, I don't understand. I used to think, why do you have so many rules? That's literally what I would think. Like, you're no fun. But now once he passed, I'm like, I get it. He was an immigrant in a new culture, a new country. And the way that you kind of honestly get by is you blend in and you belong and you assimilate and you adapt to every new environment that you're put in, whether or not it's what you agree with or what feels comfortable. It's to help you get ahead and to do what needs to happen. So I appreciate him trying to help us understand that at a young age, even though he didn't really understand a way how to express it to us in a way we could understand as kids.
Absolutely. That's like right on the dot. Absolutely. The word that you said a few times that's jumping out at me is blending in. Something that your dad emphasized. Mm-hmm. But when you were speaking earlier, that's something that you just couldn't do because of all these layers in your environment. And like, where do I belong? Where do I fit in? How do you blend in if you have all these factors going against you? You can't blend in with Africans. You can't fully blend in with African Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of stuck. And it's funny because I feel like nowadays, nobody wants to blend in. Everybody wants to be different.
So true.
Or was that like 10, 20 years ago when I was struggling?
Yes. And everyone loves Afro beats now and everything. Like, it's so interesting to me.
Nigeria
so interesting.
Is a powerhouse, right? Like,
yes.
Nigerians are something else in a good, in the best way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love Nigerian culture. Everybody does.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so true. I think about that, you know, even like, man, sometimes I wonder what my dad would feel like seeing so much of Nigeria and like Nigeria's influence in American culture right now, how that would make him feel and how proud he would be and all these things about it that he didn't really see when he first came to the States for university. And obviously he stayed, you know, up until his passing. So he was here for a very long time. But I feel like it's so cool how those things, Nigerian heritage or influence, is happening. But I want that for so many other African countries. I want that influence to be seen and to be recognized. And for people, and it's not those countries' responsibility to educate Americans on it, but I love how it's allowing for the perception to be seen like, oh, this is not what's been portrayed on the news channels. This is not what we've been taught in history books in school. This is a completely different type of experience in people and culture. So I really, really hope that that continues to transcend what has been in the last, you know, 10 to 20 years.
Mm-hmm. I feel the shift is happening.
And
I do get a little nervous about it because I kind of like being undercover, underground, just having it our own thing. But it is necessary for people to see African cultures for what they truly are.
Mm-hmm.
And I love social media for that. I feel like there's been a shift in who I follow and what I'm exposing myself to.
Yeah.
So now I'm like seeing it's a lot of West African stuff too, just the culture right in front of me. And truly, there's this account called Romanticizing African Countries. It's just like the beautiful aesthetics and sceneries of African countries. And I'm like, this is so, so peaceful. Yeah.
I love
West
that.
West African community. Yeah. I love that too. Any type of page like that, I'm like, follow, just see it all.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Have you been to Nigeria?
I haven't been to Nigeria. I know a lot of people are probably shaking their heads when I just said that. I was supposed to go in December. My aunt, she goes there at the end of the year. And my sister ended up going. And it was like a very emotional in a good way for my sister to go, because we got to see where our grandmother was laid to rest in some of the same places that my dad walked and growing up, and just experiencing like, wow, our dad was here. Like this is what he left to come to the States to pursue like his education. And so it's made me even more want to go and have the same experience. So it is on my list of countries to go to for sure.
Yeah, definitely have that experience. It definitely does. I've been to Ivory Coast a few times, and it just shifts your whole perspective on life, and it sounds super dramatic and also fluffy, but it really does. Because you realize how all the convenience that we have here and how easy things are. But even not saying that life is really hard back home.
Yeah.
There are a lot of similarities and differences, but the way of life is different. And I just feel like my appreciation and gratitude for life in general just increased.
That's so good. I feel like if you don't have any new change in perspective when you travel abroad, what were you doing? That's kind of my experience. No matter what country I go to, I try to get out of my little bubble that is easy to be when you're in the States and really like contemplate what this life is like for people in other places, both strengths that they have, and also things that I just take for granted. So I love that you have taken that wisdom with you from your trips.
Right. And just being amongst family. And they're just so joyful and happy to receive you. So when you go, let me know. Let me know.
I will. I will. 100%. 100%. I'll let you know.
But like in the States, and are you still in the South currently?
No, I'm in Ohio now, up north.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I had to get out of the South.
Absolutely. When you said that, I was like, ooh.
Yeah, I had to get out. So I'm up north in the Midwest. Mm-hmm.
How do you embrace your culture now? In what ways do you do that?
Yeah, so I love when you mentioned the social media accounts, because I follow a lot of Niger Nation is the name of the account, a lot of Nigerian content creators, and not like the glamorized ones we see in the States, but like actually living in Lagos, like in Nigeria content creators. I follow a lot of their accounts as well. And it's interesting because although I had a lot of challenges growing up accepting my Nigerian culture, it's so interesting when I follow these accounts, the things that I relate to and make me think about my dad. I'm like, oh my gosh, yes, he used to do that. Or like, oh my gosh, yes, that's exactly how my auntie is. Like, and it allows for me to feel validated. Like, oh, I am a part of this culture. I'm not a counterfeit, which is what I felt for a long time, because I wasn't fully Nigerian. And so to do those accounts, it just helps me. But also, I really try to be more intentional in my conversations with my aunt, my dad's sister, just asking her questions about things, asking her about their childhood, and even talking to my cousins. A lot of them speak Yoruba and can understand it. So even asking them things, because sometimes I'm like, you grew up in a more traditional Nigerian household, because both their parents were Nigerian. So just trying to honestly, in this place, be more open and curious instead, because for so long of my life, it was very closed off and closed minded. And so I allow myself to just humble myself and be open and curious and just learning. And it's one of those things where I just feel so much pride in a good way. And it makes me want to just learn more. You know, now I want to learn how to make fufu and egusi soup, which is like my favorite. And so all these things just make me want to go even deeper into embracing, my Nigerian heritage.
I love that you said that so much. It's just being more open, learning more, and then being able to relate to it.
Yeah.
It's validating. Yeah. It's affirming.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it gives you some pride to be Nigerian.
Yeah, it does. It really, really does. And I never, if you would have like told middle school me that, I would have never believed you. But I'm like, wow, I really do. And it's not because of the whole now Nigerians are always like in the spotlight or media, but just Nigerian people, like who they are, the things they accomplish, like their confidence, like I just, everything, it just makes me so proud. So I'm just grateful to like be at this place finally in my journey.
I'm really happy for you. I think that's a big thing for everybody who are first or second generation Americans, just coming to that point of comfortable with your label, I guess, or label of first generation American, your hyphenated status, your name, your culture.
Mm-hmm. So I agree.
I'm going to clap for you. It matters. Thank you. And it's huge. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
And I feel like I'm in a similar spot where I feel very proud, almost to the point where I kind of feel like I'm overdoing it, but I'm definitely not. I feel like there's no way to overdo pride in your culture.
Never.
Like, I'm like, am I posting too much about how proud I am to be Ivorian? Are people getting annoyed with this? But no.
No.
It doesn't matter.
It's just, I feel like we never can be loud enough about it because of colonialism and European standard and white supremacy. Those things are loud. They have been for decades. It's what our parents kind of just had to just get on board with because they wanted better for us and themselves. But like, we're a generation where we can be loud about our culture in a society that is louder about other things. And so, yeah, we can never be too loud ever.
That's true. That's a huge point. That's a good point too. And it goes back to that shift of highlighting African cultures and what it really is and not the idea of it, the Westernized idea of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. And to hold on to that point. That's good. I feel like we could talk about this forever just because I see so many similar things in your upbringing and in mine. I also grew up in a predominantly white town, went to white schools. I don't think I was directly bullied, but the impact of people making fun of African cultures or black kids, I felt that too. And then both my parents just not being super open about their culture. And I think that kind of closed me off to knowing about it too. Or like they would talk amongst themselves or do things amongst themselves. And the kids are there, but we're not in the conversations or we don't know what's really going on. But like, so just the lack of awareness.
Yeah. That's so interesting that you shared that, because I used to wonder, like, man, if both of my parents were Nigerian, would I know more? Would there have been more conversations about it happening? Because even when my dad was sick, I was like, why didn't you teach us Yoruba? Like, we don't know it. You didn't speak to us at all, so we can't understand it or anything. And he would say, you know, if your mom, the wife is the one who would have taught the kids, but because I was away at work, she didn't speak Yoruba, so she spoke to you in English. So essentially he was saying, like, usually your mom's responsibility to teach you that because I'm working every day and that's why you don't know it. But so I used to be like, man, if I lived in a two-parent household where both were Nigerian, would my perspective be different? And I'd say, like, I love my mom. But it's just something that I used to think about when I wanted to feel closer to my Nigerian heritage. So it's so interesting you shared that experience.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny that your dad told you that because my mom she didn't teach it. She spoke to us in English too. So we weren't learning. Because I think while she was learning English and we were speaking English in school, we just ended up being an English-speaking household for the most part. But we could all understand French. We could understand. They would like tell us to do things in French, like all the directives. But overall, she wasn't like teaching us how to say things in French. So, and like even with cooking, like I want to learn how to cook the traditional foods, but get out the kitchen. I want to do it by myself.
Oh.
Like, no, I don't need help. Yeah, I would ask, like, look, mommy, do you need help with this? She's like, nope. So I'm not seeing how. Yeah, so there wasn't a lot of teaching, even though she was Ivorian. I don't think she took it upon herself to be like, oh, I should teach my kids this, pass down the culture. I don't think, I don't know what it is, but it just didn't happen that way.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah. I guess we weren't really seeking it at the time either because there was that embarrassment and shame.
Yeah.
So maybe that's part of it as well.
That's true. It's like, especially when you're like middle school, high school, you know, you're not really thinking about it. So you're not seeking, like you said, seeking that out and saying, no, mommy, I really want to help you because I want to know how to make our traditional dishes.
My mom is funny. Like now if I ask her for a recipe, she'll willingly give it to me. And then we tease her, like, why didn't you teach us French? And she was like, she'll put it on us. Like, well, you guys never asked. And it's like, well, you know, pass down some of the culture.
I know. It's like, come on.
Passionate about that.
Now she's really passionate about passing it down.
No, she's passionate about you guys didn't ask, like,
that's funny.
Thank you so much for listening. To hear more from Nikkei, be sure to catch next week's episode where she shares her experiences as a wellness coach helping people who are just like her. All original music produced by Stubborn Saul. You can find him on all music listening platforms at STBRNSAL.